Titus chapter number 2. Now, we got some first-time attenders, and we got some that's been here this third time. How many does not have this handout that I got? Hold your hands up. Gary, help me. If you do not have one of these, raise your hand. It's a handout. Okay, we're coming. I'm coming. I want you to have one. Now, what you can do, you can catch up. Got some more up here, Brother Gary, when you get a chance. Got some more up here. What you can do, though I'm on the fourth lesson, you can catch up by going over this and getting the scriptures. Also, Josh, you help me. What they can go to Facebook, right, and find the sermons. Go to YouTube, find the sermons. Go to Sermon Audio, find the sermons. Any others? That's it. Three sources that you can find these lessons. Now, turn to Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 13. And then our lesson today is continuing. It's Salvation 101. Salvation 101, or Soteriology 101, that destroys Arminianism and Calvinism. And they say they're the only two groups that are giving truth out. But I want to say to you tonight, they're both in error. They're both wrong. And they're not the only one that's giving truth out. I'm an independent Baptist, and I'm giving you truth out. And what I'm doing, I'm not arguing the scripture. I am giving you 35 or so truths from the Bible. That when you go through these truths, you'll have to come and say, I believe salvation is by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I do not believe that God chose some to be saved and some to be lost. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. But let me read Titus chapter 2, then I'm going to catch you up. All I'm going to do is read the first 20, one of these, and then we'll start our lesson. But I want to review them so you'll at least get in your mind. But look at Titus chapter number 2. How many of you believe the Bible is the word of God?
Amen.
And verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to some men.
Come on, preach on right there.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to the elect. Does it say that, Jeremy?
Yep, it says all men.
That's what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men,
amen,
teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Yes.
Looking for, boy, how many's looking for Jesus?
Amen.
Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ,
amen,
who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'll start with that in just a moment, but let me give you the first 21 statements that we've dealt with so far. This is the word of God. This is not John Smith. I've got scripture to back everything I say. It's on the paper. I want you to go home and study them out. The Bible, number one, scripture is from God and God cannot lie. Now, look at me. I don't want to re-preach this, but this is the important truth. The only place you ought to point to for your reference point about your salvation is the Word of God. Amen. You start pointing to the Baptists or the Calvinists or the Armenians, you may get the wrong taste in your mouth, but you'll never go wrong. God cannot lie. Amen. Trust the Bible. Predestination is of existing saints to adoption, glorification, not sinners to be converted. Now listen carefully. I'm already preaching, so I shouldn't do this. God didn't say, "Rich, I love you, and you're going to heaven, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going. I'll make the way. I'll make you believe, and you're going to hell, and ain't nothing you can do about it." How many would question the love of God if that was the way it was? Who wrote the book? David Hunt wrote the book on what kind of love is this. I recommend you reading that book. It's an awesome book. Because I want to tell you what, a love that says God loves you and hates you is not much of a love. And the one place it's mentioned in the Bible, they totally take it out of context. And if I get there sometime, I'll show you that. Number three, election is the service, calling, and purpose, not the salvation. Number four, adoption is the future redemption of the body, thank God, not conversion. Sinners become, number five, sons of God through the new birth, not through adoption. There are two callings, gospel and vocational. Not inward or outward or effectual or ineffectual. Christ's life, well, this is what gets a lot of people. Not his death is what saves us. Jared and I was talking about that. That's not emphasized enough. Because he could have died on the cross 50 times. But if he didn't come from the grave, there's no salvation. Somebody say amen. Sinners are saved by regeneration, not atonement. Glorification is what's limited, not atonement. When Christ said it is finished on the cross, everyone was still in their sins until he rose from the grave. Atonement is one component of many components of salvation. It alone is not what saves. Atonement is a prerequisite for salvation, not the execution of it. Boy, that's good preaching right there. The atonement must be received. The atonement does not glorify anyone. What Calvinists call the golden chain of redemption contains no direct reference to the atonement. Belief that salvation for anyone was secured on the cross constitutes a denial of the necessity of the resurrection. Number 17. Salvation is eternally secured by the sealing of the Spirit, not election. Boy, that's good preaching. There's no sealing of the Spirit before Pentecost or the harpazo of the church or the snatching away of the church or after the snatching away of the church. There are two aspects to salvation. Presence effects of sin and the lack of glorification. Nothing eradicates sin or glorifies the sinner. Both aspects must be resolved for salvation to occur. Conviction of the Holy Spirit is necessary for salvation. How many believe that? Amen. But it occurs to every sinner. Amen. I got to give you that. Grace is a ubiquitous reality, not a selective force. You might be saying, what in the world does that mean? That means it's for everyone, and it just doesn't select the few. Good preaching? Now let's start with number 22. It should be on the board, right? Let's look at 22. Let me get my notes so it'll be a little clear. Now I want you to listen carefully. I'm going slow. We're just teaching, okay? If you're here lost, listen to me. I don't think you'll get a clearer picture of what you need to do than what I'm teaching here. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wish I'd have heard all this a long time before I got saved. I believe I'd have got saved quicker. Because faith comes by hearing, Chad. and hearing by the word of God. Now listen carefully, 22. Grace is just fine on its own, as it is found in the scripture. Any modifier other than free, such as sovereign, irresistible, or prevented, indicates someone is either confused or attempting to confuse. Look at verse 24 of Romans 3. Being justified freely by his what? Grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at Romans 5:16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift, for judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Somebody say amen. You don't have to add to grace. Somebody help me preach. You don't have to add to grace. The Armenians tried to add works to grace. But I want you to know something. The Calvinists are just as bad as they are. They got works in their situation. They're lordship guys. They believe you've got to get to a certain standard and you'll endure to the end, and that means you were the elect from the beginning. That's a false doctrine. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the ground's level at the cross. Everybody comes and trusts Christ the same way.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Now listen to this carefully. Look at 23. Listen carefully. It's not a play on words, Chad. This is just, I want to listen carefully. Die or died to save is not a biblical phrase or concept. It is therefore senseless to pit it against died to make men savable, since the premise is false to start with. This false dichotomy indicates confusion about what saves. Now, I made this. Oh, you can see the notes, can't you? Calvinists employ the false dichotomy of did Christ die to save or to make men savable? Now, let me get illustrated for you. It's on your notes. That's like asking where to bury the survivors at your plane crash. It's completely irrelevant question. Since Christ's death is not the component of salvation that does the saving, his life saves us. He purchased our sins or washed our sins away by his death, but it's his resurrected life that saves us.
Amen.
In other words, he was delivered for all offenses.
Amen.
And that sounds, hey, Craig, that sounds good, doesn't it? But if I stop there, you don't have no hope yet. But he was raised for our justification.
Amen.
Amen? That's why the gospel, Chad, is the death, the burial, and what? Amen. Now, there's some groups out here, and I might as well say this. I don't know who's in my crowd, and definitely don't know who's listening to me. There's some people preach what they call the full gospel. Now I want to tell you what they mean by that. They mean by full, that could mean a lot of things. The death, burial, resurrection, plus you got to speak in tongues when you got saved. Plus you had to be water baptized when you got saved. That's false. How sad it is that many people are stumbling over the easiest gift in the world. It's by grace are you saved through faith. Somebody say amen. Look at 24. This is, I want you to see this again. I'll repeat this and again. I want you to see it. Sinners are born of God by the will of God after they receive Christ. Now, why have you been drumming that into us? Look at me. The Calvinists believe this. Ain't none of you can believe unless you're born again first. You can't believe unless you're born again first. Now, how many knows what born again means? Born again means you get a divine nature, right?
Amen.
Born again means you receive the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
Born again means you get sealed by the Spirit, right?
Amen.
That's false doctrine. Now look at John 1, 11. And if you're unsaved, I really want you to pay attention. John 1, 11 through 13. And I'm just teaching tonight. It's just a good Bible study. He came unto his own. That's Jesus coming to the Jews. And his own received him not. And let me stop there. Chad, you might help me here. At least an amen or a bump. If you try to get church doctrine out of the Gospels, you're going to be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Because much of the four Gospels, the context is concerning Israel. Good preaching. He came unto his own, Jews, and his own received him not. Then he said, but as many received him. Now how do you get saved? You receive him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now look up on the board. Look at the order. How many see it? How many says that's not real confusing? Here's the order. Receiving. When you do, he's given you power to become the Son of God. When you do, you're born again. When you do, you become the sons of God. When you do, the manifestation of the sons of God or glorification, adoption happens in your life. But when do you do it? When you place faith. When you receive him.
Yes.
Now, if you're here lost, and I believe there's folks in here tonight, you've been coming for several weeks lost. I don't know why you've left unsaved. The only thing I can figure is you're just rejecting God, or you're not being convicted by the Spirit. And I'm not sure that other one, you wouldn't be keeping coming back if you wasn't interested in being saved. So I believe you're being convicted by the Holy Spirit. So what you've been doing, you've just been saying, I don't think you want to be ugly. You're just saying no thanks. You're rejecting it. Don't do that. Don't do that. How many said, don't do that? You need to receive it. Now, Chad, you pronounce these two words for me that's up on the board.
25. Oh, monergism and synergism.
Monergism and synergism. Chad, come up here, get your mic, and tell them what monergism and synergism is. How many's never heard of monergism and synergism? Come on. By the way, those words just popped up in the 1890s, just out of the blue. Tell us what monergism and synergism is.
Okay. Monergism is basically saying that what Jonas said, salvation is of the Lord. It's all of God. Mono, one, it's all of God, monergism. Synergism is basically a cooperative effort. God does a little bit, and you do a little bit. So the Armenians who believe in works-based salvation, they would be synergistic in their salvation belief. We would be monergistic, which means that it's all of God. We don't have any part in it, but the Calvinists wouldn't say so.
Oh, they would.
And I'll let you explain that.
What would they tell us that we are, Chad? We're semi...
Pelagian.
Tell them what that is. Come on. I want you.
This is a centuries old debate. It traces back all the way to the early church in a debate and a conflict between a man by the name of Augustine and a guy named Pelagius. And both were wrong.
Amen.
Pelagius would believe in the cooperative effort, and Augustine would be, that's what Calvinism is derived from. And it goes all the way back to the early centuries of the church.
Right. Let me make a statement, real important. This is important. Now, Chad, I'll make sure I get this right. Calvinism, or any form of Calvinism, wasn't taught by the early church.
That's right. Amen.
I think 300 to 400 A.D. is when it was taught. It was not taught in the early church. You can go back to the early church fathers. They never mention it at all. They believed in whosoever will. They believed in salvation by grace, and they did not believe it. It didn't start until a man named Augustine, or Augustine, some of us would say. Now, these two terms, the Calvinists would say we're not. They would say we're synergists, but we're not. This will make them mad, and I know they're watching me. Hi. I know they're watching me, but they are synergists themselves. Any belief that says you've got to persevere to the end, you can cover it up and you can paint over it, but that's works. It's works. Somebody help me preach. But these two terms just came out of the blue in 1890s. And been around a while. Number 26. Now, in a moment, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to give you people that's getting baptized time to go in about 5 or so minutes, okay? Number 26. God is pleased to save those that believe. Well, this is important. Oh, yeah. Not cause belief in those he saves.
Amen.
How many got that?
Amen.
Look at me, sinner. For after, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
Now, Rich, help me. How simple is that? Faith cometh by hearing. You've been coming to church, many of you that's lost in the church here tonight. You've been coming to church. You've been listening. And inch by inch, you've been grasping it. And I really believe once you really got it, you're going to come and get it. Come and receive it. That's my prayer. But the only way to be saved is through belief. Look at Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How many of you, come on, how many of y'all in this room understood that? Come on, whether unsaved or how many understood? You did. You understand that. You believe in your heart that he raised from the dead, and you confess with your mouth or repent of your sins, like Justin said, you get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's good stuff.
Amen.
Let me give one or two more of these. Free gift unto justification of life to all men must be received. It is not universal. Unless irresistible grace supplants the biblical requirement to receive. You with me? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, let me give you some verses. Look at the verses. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what?
Life.
Somebody say amen. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The moment you trust God and believe in the dead, burial, and resurrection, and trust him by faith, your sins are washed away by the blood, and you're justified because of the resurrection. Can I explain it any clearer than that? I don't think so. You might be saying, why are you going over this so much? It's because there's so many people confused. You know what? I dare say there's probably some Taze Valley Church people who are members of this church still ain't got it right. And that's probably why they still live wicked lives. What's quiet in here now? See, I believe real salvation changes somebody.
Amen.
But if you don't have the real deal, then most likely you're not going to be changed.
Right. Yeah.
Now listen carefully. Boy, this is a giddy here. I don't know if I should close with this one or not. Foreknow. Big word. Been misunderstood. It's being known by God in the sense of Galatians 4:9. After conversion and before glorification, as if already glorified, it does not refer to any time prior to conversion. Now listen to this. Galatians 4, 8, and 9. You there? Howbeit then, when you knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or, Chad, look at this, rather are known of God. So when did we become known of God? The moment you trusted Christ.
Amen.
And they take this foreknowledge and twist it and grab it and strangle you with it, and they're teaching it falsely. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I'm stopping here. Chad, this is a good place to land. And then I'm going to let folks go ahead and get ready to be baptized. Then I'll talk a little bit more. Number 29, nobody was in Christ before the foundation of the world. Nobody was in Christ before they were placed in Christ during their lifetime. Now, the church as a whole, Chad, was chosen in him. But listen to these verses. This is great. See, the Calvinists said we was in Christ before we ever got saved. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 2:12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So how can they say we were in Christ before the foundation of the world when he said we were without God and without hope when we were living our sinful life?
Amen.
How many see that? I'm not a smart boy and I see that. Now here's what it says. You're here tonight. I'm talking to everybody in the room. I'm closing. You people that's being baptized, go ahead, get up quietly, as quietly as possible, and go get ready to be baptized. Go quietly as possible. because I want to finish here. Let me say it again. Nobody was in Christ before the foundation of the world. Nobody was in Christ before they were placed in Christ during their lifetime. You had to be placed in Christ. Now let's talk about it. I want to talk to you, and I want to be an instructor to you, and I just want to be like a father to you right now. If you're in this room and you're lost, and you know you are, but you've heard enough facts tonight to save the whole world. I'm going to talk to you just like I'd talk to you if we were out on the street and I was going to try to win you to Christ. Here's what I would say to you first. If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? And I'm asking everyone in this church that question, not just thinking you're saved because you're a church member or have some kind of belief in your past. Have you ever really saw yourself a sinner, saw yourself lost, and trusted Christ as Savior? You got to do that. Right. Number two, here's how I talk to you. You become a sinner because your father was a sinner. And his father was a sinner. And we trace that all the way back to Father Adam. For as by one man sin entered into the world. And here's the facts. Your sin's got to be paid for. Do you know that? Now it's got to be paid for. Now here's how it's going to be paid for. You're either going to accept the payment that Christ done on the cross and believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, or you're going to die in your sin and pay that cost. Now, I'm just talking to you. I am not screaming. I'm not yelling. I'm just talking. The wages of sin is death. That's separation. You'll never see your loved ones that are in heaven. How terrible. You have a mom there, dad there, wife there, son there, child there. Wouldn't it be terrible you die and go to hell and not see them again? You know what the great hope as a Christian is? We're going to see our loved ones again. Now let's bear down now. It's an awful scene to think you're going to die and go to hell, but let me give you this. But God commendeth his love toward you. Amen. And while you're yet sinning, or yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Amen. Amen. He paid the payment. I'm just talking to you like I would to any sinner on the street. Then you know what I tell him? I said, well, do you want that? Would you like to be saved? I'm asking you, would you like to be? Come on now. You have any doubts about what you are? Then here's what I tell them. I tell them Romans 10, 9, and 10. That if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And tell me, and with the heart, somebody said, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. All that means is this. You come publicly or privately, but eventually you'll make it public and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but tonight I'm going to trust you as Savior. And I'm going to receive you tonight as Savior. Because I believe you'll save me. Yes, sir. Then the Bible gives you assurance. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care how mean you've been, how bad you've been, how far you went away from God, you'll be saved. Amen. Is that good teaching?
Yep.
Now stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed. And honestly, I'm not going to belabor this, but I do want to ask. Everyone stand, please. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I know if I died today, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand. If you know that, raise them up high. Don't raise them if you don't know. Thank you. I'm going to ask you this. No one's looking but me. How many folks are in the church tonight that you don't know you're saved? If you die, you're not really sure you're saved. And you say, Preacher Smith, I don't want to die lost. I'm just not sure I've ever really got saved the right way. How many raise your hand and say, pray for me? I just don't think I've ever been saved. Slip it up. Say, pray for me. This won't save you. Just slip it up. Just say, man, I tell you, I really need to be saved. Now, I'm going to pray. We'll sing a song. If you're here and you've been hearing me preach for months and weeks, and you already know what you need to do, and you want to do it, that's the bad part. But you're letting the God of this world blind you and stop you. And you need to say no to the devil and yes to Jesus tonight. I'm going to pray specifically for you. Our Father, I want to pray for those tonight that are here and well aware they're lost. Well aware that if they die, they'd be in hell. Well aware they need Christ. I want to pray right now. When the music starts, they'll make their way to Christ. In Jesus' name, for his sake.